Yes. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the CCNR meeting of Cameron Park Community Services District. It's January 5th, 2026. The agenda says 25, but it's a minor correction. So would you mind calling the roll, please, Jim?
Sure. Just for clarification, computer says time now is 5:30.
It is 5:30.
Roll call. Chair Dutta.
Present.
Vice Chair Israel.
Present.
Director Gilchrist.
Present.
Committee Member Hill Calvert.
Present.
Committee Member Eastwood is absent, and GM is currently not here, but he may be up here.
Thank you, Jim. This meeting is called to order. Public testimony will be received on each agenda item as it's called. The principal party on each side of an issue is allocated 10 minutes to speak. Individual comments are limited to 3 minutes, except with the consent of the committee. Individuals shall be allowed to speak on an item only once. Members of the audience are asked to volunteer their name before addressing the committee. The committee reserves the right to waive said rules by a majority vote. Item 1, adoption of agenda. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
I'll move to approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
Okay.
We
have a motion to adopt the agenda as presented and as seconded. Any question, comments? If not, those in favor of accepting the agenda as presented, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay. The agenda as presented, accepted, and the motion passes. Next item on the agenda, approval of minutes.
So, Jim, the September minutes are attached. But where are the November minutes?
There was no quorum.
No quorum.
No meeting.
You still have to take minutes.
But that's the way the board put it together, because you're rolling over. It's just no quorum. The meeting is shut down. So
there's no minutes? There's nothing. Okay.
I questioned that, too, and she said that this one goes on.
And what rules? I'm just curious. What rules do we follow when we say no minutes?
Well, there's no quorum. We can't open up the meeting.
Well, we can't vote on it.
We can't vote on anything,
but
we did open the meeting.
You can't take any official actions.
We listened to this gentleman last month.
Right. I wasn't here, so.
We couldn't record anything.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for that clarity.
And we still do need to approve the minutes from tonight,
because
we didn't do that.
Yeah, so what's before us are the minutes to be approved for September 9, 2025 meeting. And any comments, questions on the attached minutes?
I'll move to approve the September minutes.
Second.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Seconded? Mm-hmm. All right. Any comments, questions? If not, we'll take a vote. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. The approval of minutes are admitted in records from September 9, 2025 meeting, and the motion passes unanimously. Next item on the agenda, a member of the public may speak on any item not on the agenda falls within the responsibilities of the committee. We do see there are some members of the public present.
Yes.
Are you here to speak on any items that not on the agenda?
I believe mine is on the agenda, yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. Then we will come to your point when your name is called.
All right.
Departmental matters, election of chair and vice chair. I'll open it up to the committee.
I like Bob.
Bob.
That's what you got to nominate.
Oh, we nominate.
Oh, I nominate. I meant to say nominate.
No, I second.
Do you accept?
I accept the nomination.
Okay.
Tim, did you weigh in on that?
Well, we vote.
Tim, did you?
No, but we have voted.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now you have to vote.
He's like, hey, I'm over here.
Well, goodbye.
I'm right here.
Okay, so
you're gonna call for a roll call.
Do we have? We need
unless
a roll call.
Unless Tim wants to be chair.
All right, so a roll call based on chair nomination for Bob Dutta. Director Israel.
Aye.
Director Gilchrist.
Aye.
And committee member Hillcow.
Aye.
Bob votes too.
That's three.
Well, if I don't vote, I procedural question. If I recuse myself, do I still have a quorum?
You still have a quorum.
Yeah.
Okay, then I'll recuse myself because it's a voting against my self-interest. But I accept the nomination, so.
So we have nominated Chair Dutta and nomination for Vice Chair.
Well, I nominate Candace.
Oh, no.
Second.
No, I'll second that.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Oh, really?
All right.
Okay.
You accept?
I accept.
Okay. Having been nominated for the vice chair of the CCNR committee 2026, Candace accepted the nomination. Do we have, and it got seconded. So do we need a vote? Let's do a roll call vote. Those in favor? Of that nomination, appointing Candace as the vice chair. Say aye.
We'll see. He needs a roll call vote.
The roll call.
Oh, yes, let's do
a
roll call.
Roll call. And on this one, Chair Dutta.
Yes.
Director Israel.
Aye.
And Director Gilchrist.
Aye.
So passes.
And you still have a vote.
You still have a vote.
Huh? You still get to vote.
Oh, okay. I accept. I vote yes. Yes.
Okay, she voted yes. Majority vote. So that motion passes, and congratulations.
Right.
All right, that business is out of the way. The next item on the agenda, CCNR case detail report, art projects. Jim?
Okay, staff report on CCNR staff, the ARC project submittals. We have... so this is all of our numbers on ARC and CCNR. So the officer addressed complaints and work ongoing cases in the Kevin Park District. The following is a breakdown of these observations for corrections. Case by case detail report is attached in the back. So if you have any questions, let me know. Based on that case detail report, we have 9 cases on continue to monitor. These are cases that have either recently cleared or are reoccurring, and we definitely take a look at those and make sure that, you know, they're not staging or getting in between trips. Courtesy notices, 11 went out, 3 initial notices, 3 final notices, 3 pre-legal notices, and 2 cases were referred to the legal. Any questions on those? Okay, November and December clear cases were 9, and that's supposed to be November and December on that line also. Sorry about that. November and December new cases were 15. I'll fix that for the minutes. Okay. On to Architectural Review Committee projects review total. November and December, we had 43 projects reviewed, 42 projects were approved. One will be re-reviewed from tomorrow mornings. It was not approved because the applicant was to be in attendance for questions to be answered by the committee. The committee decided to hold it over because of the nature of the project. This was a new home construction and ADU combined. Architectural review projects breakdown. There was 27 roofs, 1 solar, 3 fences, 1 oak tree removal, 5 swimming pools, 1 deck, 1 exterior room addition added onto the existing home, 1 sports court, and 2 additional dwelling units. Any questions there?
We're still doing solar, I guess.
When it comes in.
Okay.
We did have a discussion with that with staff. We have not gotten anything in writing from the county that says it's a utility and no need to review them. They'll handle it. We've not gotten anything like that. So if they come in to do the extra diligence, it's okay.
Okay. Fair enough.
Several welcomes to Cameron Park packets were delivered by the CC&R staff for those residents that have recently moved in and may have reported some complaints as they were settling in. Those welcome packets help new residents identify with the restrictions of their properties and made the necessary adjustments to their complaints. In CC&R enforcement, complaints continue to drop as education continues from the neighborhood to neighborhood. The neighborhood campaigns will continue through 2026. So the first half of that, believe it or not, there was a lot of real estate changeovers in November and December. A lot more than you would typically expect. Not a lot of people like to move during the holidays. And they're coming right in with violations. So we try to attempt and have staff go out and provide them a welcome packet, their CC&Rs and all that. If there's no abatement, then we start working on the violation process. So and I would say it's about 50-50 where we come out there, we deliver these packets, and they take care of it on their own. Others, we have to go into notices. And then as far as neighborhood to neighborhood, the neighborhood campaigns, Tim asked for an update on that. It's actually, that update is in the minutes of September 9th. But we put on a big load for neighborhood campaigns. I think you guys kind of recognize that at the beginning of 2025. We almost achieved it all. There was only two neighborhoods that we did not complete, but we also substituted in two other neighborhoods in their place because the complaints were heavier than those neighborhoods. So Cameron Park 11 and Cameron Park 12 will not be completed, so those will be rolling into 2026. Okay, on the air, Seaside, applications for new projects have increased in the last 2 months of 2025. Residents are working to make sure projects were submitted to the CSD and county prior to 2025. A lot of that has to do with code changes. So anybody that did not get their projects in at the end of 2025 and may have been doing a room addition or an ADU, a larger project, if they did not have it submitted to the county by the end of 2025, they would have to revise all of their architectural drawings. So there was a big push. Not to mention, county's raising all the fees. So it was a big push at the end of the year. So that took our numbers from mid-20s to mid-40s.
Jim, I'm a little curious about one thing. You mentioned that you did proactively went out during those property transfers, gave the welcome packets. 50% of it was voluntary compliance of anything that was array, then you still had to do additional 50% abatement. What is that number? What does that look like? Like, if we're talking about total of 20 and 10
more.
Well,
like, for example, in November and December, I think I delivered 5 packets.
Okay.
And in 2 of those, I had immediate abatement.
Okay.
In the 3rd, they're working on it. And then 2 of them, I got to issue violation notices. Continue to talk with them as they come in for their architectural projects. One in particular is on Country Club, where the house has changed over and you've got 2 trailers now in the frontage. At that time that those trailers were coming in, they were renovating the home, but the resident wasn't there. So I emailed over all their CC&Rs, let them and their contractor know there's violations going on. Because there was an oak tree removal without approval, a large house trailer on the side, and a cargo trailer. And those are going to be the event. Or put it in the back. And they have the room to do it. It's just going to come down to, come midweek, I will be paying visits to some of these homes and making sure they're getting that message.
Okay. Thank you.
That concludes the CC&R case detail and the RC projects report.
All right.
Okay, the next one would be number 3, CC&R staff update. So that is here.
Okay.
So we have...
So, Jim, in this particular segment, could we address...
During the CCNR case detail and ARC project section, we probably should address 2773 Nolan.
Item number 1C, if you want to...
Oh, okay.
If you'd like to roll down to it, we can.
Oh, it's on 3? Okay, I'm sorry, I thought...
Okay. Oh, 1C.
All right. May I suggest we skip to that one so that we can let him get out of here with his... Is that okay with you guys?
Well, we already did all that, so I mean, we can just move to it, I suppose. I mean, I'm not that formal here. But honestly,
okay.
One C. Where is 1C?
Where's
It's on the state.
It's towards the.
Oh, I see. I see.
It's on.
The 1C is what it says. Staff report, January 5th, 2026.
Oh, 1C in your report.
Yeah,
1C.
Yeah,
well,
C.
This is
Nolwood
part
Drive.
Of the agenda. You don't have to change any.
Right. Yeah, we don't have to change the agenda because we're on this item. We're just
That's my question.
Yep. Very good.
We're just skipping.
We just
We can come back
skip this 1C and go back to the other two.
Okay, 1C is CCNR 25-1019 for 2773 Norwood Drive. This was approved for pre-legal and legal staffs upon discretion. The homeowner had contacted us, and the homeowner is present.
Okay.
Legal, pre-legal was sent out, but legal we held on that so that the resident can come in and case. It's a boat in the front. It's pre-legal. It served on 9/23. Abatement has still not been achieved, and property owner contacted staff to return the CCNR. And at the back, I don't. You have the statement from the homeowner in the very last two pages of your report. And then the homeowner can also discuss that. And this is the location on Nolwood Drive. This was before he started making improvements on the property. And then these are the photos of that with the boat in the frontage.
This seems familiar to me.
Like you talked about, he was here.
Well, that's because he was here.
He was here last month, but we didn't have a quorum, so we couldn't.
Oh, okay, okay.
He had to come back.
That's why. Okay.
So, scroll through your photos. Is this the latest one?
No, actually, we stopped taking photos after we heard from the resident on our last one. That looks like was September 22nd. Boat store.
Can you pull that up?
Yeah, November 22nd would be.
So why don't we have a more recent one? Is it not changed at all?
There was he expressed some concern about taking additional photos. So we just held off, and according to legal, we didn't need to take any more.
So it hasn't changed from this condition.
Correct. Other than having it covered. It's got the shrink wrap cover on the top of it.
Gotcha.
Another photo of that. It's better shrink wrap than this. This is a tarp.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you want to take public comment?
So this is just a discussion. We're not having it here.
It's a discussion because it's the next step with photo show.
Okay.
Well, do you have
anything
comment?
Else to say? On your report?
Only by question. I mean, we've been working along, we've been trying to work with the resident. I think the last step, we discussed doing some kind of temporary screen. We did receive some photos of some artificial trees, like kind of a juniper cypress type of tree. What I did is I contacted the property owner and said, put together a detail so we can run it through ARC, because I felt it would have a lot of weight coming back to CCNR to show that the resident was working on something. But just a photo of a plastic tree and asking if they can put a row, that wasn't really telling the tale of what was going to be done. So that was our last conversation. And I think the resident is primarily here, and he can discuss it from there. Primarily, he's asking for an extended time in the violation. I think the rest of the questions should be directed to the resident.
Okay.
Well, I'd like to hear from, what's your name?
Andrew Graham.
Andrew, could you state your case, so to speak?
Yeah, so I first moved to California in 1999. I've been a resident of El Dorado County, in particular Cameron Park, ever since. Short time, went away for college, but came back, bought my first home on the Green Valley side of Cameron Park in 2024. But we needed to, our family was growing, so we needed to get a bigger home. We found this home. Two of our biggest criteria was to have a yard for my dogs. I have a retired canine law enforcement dog and another yellow lab. And then a place that we could store our boat, because on the other side I was on a zero lot, had nowhere to put it. It was in storage, about $300 a month. So when we first bought the property, this is what it looked like. Okay, but come over here. Sorry about my son. There's about, it's a little under 350 linear feet of fencing that goes around the entire backside of the property. So the first two objectives when we bought it looking like this is I knew that I had enough room on the side yard to eventually get my boat there, but I had a lot of obstacles in the way. So I had to put in a 40 by 40 road base driveway in the front to cover up all this, because it's a sloppy mess when it rains prior to installing the new driveway. So that first, that was in March of 24 when we bought the house. Now that's a result of every year. I mean, call it what you will, maybe not the most efficient financial planning way, but I over withhold extremely in my taxes every year, because I know around March of every year I get a significant tax refund because of my over withholding. So the first one, with some leftovers from closing the escrow on the house, I was able to do the driveway. So the following year, in 2025, I knew that I had to build a double swinging gate over there. Now that I could drive the boat up, I needed a gate that could allow the boat to get in. So in my 2025 tax season, my refund, it was right around $20,000, and 100% of it went to fencing the entire property. So that dilapidated fence, my dog actually got out of that one. He was ran over by a car. Thankfully, he survived, but we had a lot of emergency vet bills that set us back in that time frame. My goal at that time was to also include beyond the double swinging gates that I have there now. It's sloped pretty significantly from my neighbor's yard. So the next step is to grade it, build a retaining wall, and pour concrete. Now, because of the emergency vet bills and things of that nature, that project got delayed. As soon as that I would be able to do it, in the outline that you have there, originally when I came in November, I was asking for 18 months. The only reason I was asking for 18 months was because the only vehicle that we have right now, other than my government-issued vehicle, is a Ram truck. And for all three kids, it's kind of a lot. So we were looking at adding a vehicle this year with that refund. But with that in mind, and with how much I do respect the CCNRs, and we have the ultimate shared same goal, I'm going to forego a vehicle for my family this year, push it till next year, and I'm expecting about $15,000 in a refund from my taxes this year, and it will. I always file early. I usually receive by late February, early March, at which point I already have it lined up to get that work started, and should be completed within the month of March, maybe early April at the earliest. And then all the steps will have been completed. I have the driveway where I can now move the boat that direction. I have the double swinging gate, and then I have the concrete. I tried to come up with some temporary plans from our last meeting. That was the faux plants that he was mentioning. I found a decent deal on Amazon for outdoor graded, I forget the exact type of tree, but they were 8 foot tall, just like kind of the skinny, straight up growing ones. On a decent deal, but in order to get enough to go in front of the boat, it was going to take me about 10 or 11 of them. So that would significantly cut into the several thousand dollars that I'm planning on putting towards the ultimate shared goal of the concrete pad. So I just couldn't find a way to make it work with a legitimately temporary plan that wouldn't set me back financially and prevent me from putting the concrete. So my ask would be to give me until the end of March so that I can get that concrete done, all of the other steps over the last 3 years since I took ownership of that house. Has already been well over $50,000, and I'm ready to make that move in March as soon as I get my refund from the IRS. But in the meantime, I don't have anywhere to put it or any other temporary means that wouldn't set me back extremely financial. And not to mention the trees, but if that were approved, the ordering time, the delivery time, the setup time, by then we're getting closer to the time where I would have the concrete anyways.
So you're going to pour concrete so you can move the boat behind the fence?
Yeah, so first I built that driveway because before it was just my boat would have sunk in 2 feet of mud if I tried to go across to that fence. So I built the driveway, that's where it currently sits. And then right beyond it, there's a double swinging gate there with plenty of room to get the boat in there. Just currently behind it is very much like it was in the front yard. It would be a wet, sloppy mess. The boat would sink in 2 feet of mud. But on the bright side, with the rain that we've had, it's going to make it a lot easier for my project and probably less time-consuming to dig it out, build the retaining wall, and pour the concrete, like I said, by the end of March.
I just have a couple of follow-up questions.
So sure.
Are you contemplating rectifying the violations that it exists now by the end of March with the project that you just described?
What do you mean?
Meaning that you're going to be pouring concrete, going to be doing some driveway work, bringing the boat to a concrete pad.
In my side yard, behind the gate.
Side yard. Then closing the gate, double gate. Would that screen the boat and would that cure the violation?
My understanding with speaking with Jim was that if as long as it was behind that gate, that it would
okay.
fulfill the requirements.
So you're planning to remediate the violations by end of March.
Yes,
that's
been my goal since I moved there. Was I saw that my dream was to get my boat parked on a concrete pad on that side, and just several steps along the way.
So Jim, if he did all of that, and are all the violations going to be handled if he accomplished what he's stating?
On record is the trailer boat out on the frontage. In last pass by there, we do have building materials out front here, and it does look like blocks or possibly the retaining wall.
That's another nightmare that I'm trying to deal with. So the solar, PG&E and the solar company didn't communicate very well with each other. I was told that my installation date was going to be I was told it was in October, and then again it was pushed to December 1st. So they delivered the materials thinking that was going to be the installation date, but they miscommunicated with each other. That was only the delivery date, and my installation was supposed to be on 12/29, which is, again, pushed. I'm going through a battle with them right now, too, because it's blocking, again, my government-issued law enforcement vehicle from being parked in the garage, so I'm not very happy with them either, but that will be moved.
Because that, I mean, per CC&R's building materials out in front is also a violation. However, that was why I had that question. If it's for solar, I can understand that as well. We all have dealt with solar or roof projects getting delayed or rescheduled.
And do you have a valid permit for the solar project? Has that permit been issued by the El Dorado County?
Yes, so all of that is already, permits are issued, installation dates are on, PG&E approved, the project, but then because they delayed it so many times, then they had to revert back and make a new contract because of a certain amount of time. If you have solar or know somebody who has solar, it can be a nightmare. It's well worth it, but yeah, it's been a pain.
PG&E will only pay attention to PTO, permission to operate. They wouldn't have the rest of the construction issues.
Right, so that's their company called Power, and they contract directly with El Dorado County to issue permits for solar. Yeah.
Okay. So by the end of March, you expect all of these issues to be resolved?
Yes. I mean, there's a potential that it could bleed into April, depending on weather. It does rain. It's not the best conditions for concrete if it's raining, but give or take a week or so. Yes, once I get my refund, it'll immediately turn around and the project will begin.
So you're not really asking for deference or forbearance for 18 months. You're merely asking.
No, so my original, and that's what I wanted to clarify on that outline was for the November meeting that I previously came to, but there wasn't enough board members here. I was originally asking for 18 months. I think I even put 18.4, but that's because with all of the financial setbacks and trying to manage my family, I was intending on using this year's tax refund dollars to buy a new vehicle to fit my growing family. However, I've now switched gears, and I would use that money for this project to alleviate the problem I'm here. I'll figure out how to manage another vehicle another time.
Okay. Jim, do you have any questions, comments?
No, I mean, that the building materials was another one. And the issue we have here on this Millwood Road is we've got a lot of violation. And directly across the street from him, another violation appeared about 3 months ago where another big apartment trailer is out. And then three doors down, in the holidays, someone had their RV streets out. We've abated the trailer. That's not done. The cargo trailer has a violation of outdoor, and we have legal on the bend having access to the dam. Our legal's been issued on that. So we're just trying to complete this loop.
Right.
Based on the original estimation of 18 to 24 months, that's where staff had a problem.
Yes.
And was looking for it. Well, if it's that amount of time, either you provide a temporary screen that's suitable, or you have to put it in storage. Because every one of us that have these toys, we either have to store it in our yard or put it in storage.
Are you still making that recommendation if he completes the
Based
project?
Based on the new schedule,
yes.
I think it's much more reasonable. And, I mean, in various cases, it takes about 3 months to abate just about anything. So if he's on top of it and can abate this by, like you said, end of March or mid-April, I think staff would be very satisfied with that, especially if we can withhold from going to legal, because that takes our taxpayer dollars and puts it towards one resident. So, that's the request.
So, if you are able to complete all this by end of March, March 31st, I think that the committee would be more inclined to allow forbearance. I'm going to ask the committee members to weigh in on this.
The only reason that I can't commit 100% because I'm a man of my word, and that's solely going to be if we get a downpour of rain. I mean, just anything that would delay pouring concrete would be the only reason. That and the issuance of the actual refund check to get my account. But there's room to wiggle there, right? I could start the project on credit and pay it off with the refund, but the reason I can't give you a 100% promise on the exact date is weather permitting for that particular type of project, because we do get rain showers in the early springtime.
But you see, we cannot decide on uncertainty as to what variables you might encounter.
Sure.
So we're just deciding on what you're asking us to do.
Yeah, I think March 31st would be a reasonable time that I could tell you.
Okay. Yeah. Committee members?
Can you use your garage?
So the issue with the garage, and again, that goes back to the battle that I'm having with solar right now. So when we first bought the property, in the time that happened, that lapsed between when I was able to build that driveway, I did have it in the garage, but then that forced my government-issued law enforcement vehicle to be parked outside, which is
okay. So you can put it in the garage, but what agency? Or do you work for? What agency?
The Folsom Police Department.
Folsom PD can sit out front. It's a simple solution. It doesn't need to be garaged.
What I'm saying?
Your vehicle doesn't need to be garaged, does it?
By policy, yes, absolutely.
I asked that same question last time.
I see. Well, I think you should put it in storage. I don't have a lot of sympathy with Folsom PD's car takes priority over your neighbors and the residents of Cameron Park.
I don't think that's the message that I was delivering at all.
Well,
I mean, sorry,
it's the policy. I think if it's the policy, then that's part of what you need to pay, and you need to push it into storage until you get your parking done. And you've been notified of this for a long time. You can put it in the garage.
Cannot put it in the garage at their current state. But
well, I put my boat in my garage. I don't store it outside
to do
for my neighbors to enjoy.
With all due respect, sir, I don't need a lecture. If your boat is no, then
I will explain my opinion, sir, and I don't need to hear your rebuttal. So I would ask you to refrain from that. So I'm not inclined to grant this.
Any extension? Is that your position?
Well, I just don't. I mean, not willing to actually commit to a date either. I'll commit to. I would go for a hard commit at the end of March.
Yeah.
And legal goes out on April 1st.
I think we can still take an action on that based on March 31st drop date deadline. Whether he complies, if he doesn't comply,
right.
Then we move forward. Simple.
So
that's all
are
there
you
is
willing
to
put it in storage on March 31st if your side yard is not finished?
When March 31st comes, and if it's not finished, then I will move it somewhere.
So the boat will not be there on April 1st?
Correct.
Okay. That seems reasonable.
I can live with that.
I can live with
yeah.
that.
Okay. Well, do we need to move, take a vote?
This is listed as an action item.
We need to vote forward.
Yeah, we need to vote on this.
So, motion to allow a
extension
or a
delay.
A deviation?
Well, I would say, can I?
Sure. Yeah, please.
I would move to, I would move to the case for 2773 Knollwood Road to delay legal action until April 1st, at which time staff will issue notice if the boat is still in front of the house.
Okay. We have a second on this motion.
I'll second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Those in favor, or if are there any discussion over this matter? Those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed, say nay. The motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
So good luck to you.
Thank
hopefully
you.
You'll resolve it.
Yeah, 100% will.
Yes.
Okay.
Just need money first. It's coming.
Thank you.
All right.
I'll take care of that. I thought it might help you out a little bit.
Jim, you can
just
bring, go
pick
back
up, stick
to
the...
Yeah, just go back to
the... Yeah, okay. So now go back to 1A.
Right.
Kids, you have a good evening.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Really good. I appreciate it. Magic, huh? Okay, moving on.
Magic. She's probably looking at that screen going, well.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, item number 1A, CCR251020. This is 2605 Millwood Drive. If I may, I'm just going to stop right there. If I could, I just want to go back to 1C and make sure I got the wording right. I kind of jumped ahead here. So I have got written down, delay legal action until April 2026. If the baby is not
April 1st.
April 1st.
I do have April 1st. Sorry, I said that wrong. April 1st, 2026. If abatement is not achieved, we request legal action.
Yeah, I want to say April 1st.
Yeah.
If it's
legal action on April 1st.
I don't really want to call legal a week and a half in
advance. Well, no, but okay, that's fine.
Yeah. I would take action on April 1st.
Yes.
You'll
drive out there on the 1st, and if it's still there, then you'll make your phone call to legal.
And you were right to take action the way you did, because we have...
We just got to keep rolling it down the road.
We've had different responses from them every time you talk to them. So that was the best response we've ever had. So
March 31st.
I'll save my comments. I know, I agree. So. I appreciate that. So I've got that right now. So, okay. So thank you for the committee helping us out with that one, because it has been a tough one that all of staff has been working. So we'll go back to item number 1A, thank you, and that is CCR 251020. This is 2605 Millwood Court, and this is
this place has been in our sights before.
Yes, it has. 2605 Millwood Court. This was for the approval of the pre-legal. So, 2605 Millwood Court. Even in this Google Maps thing, the trailer is still there. And that has the access to Cameron Park Lake Dam. Our access for our staff is right along here. You can see the trailer sitting right here. We have been working this case for a long time. Unfortunately, even with legal, we have issued pre-legal and we've issued legal, and we still are not getting a response. This is a rental unit. The owner is in Vacaville. I've been down this road before where we don't know yet if it's some elderly that does not review their own mail and maybe has somebody review it for them, but I've been down this road before. It's kind of hard to believe that nobody's called us all the way through into legal action. Because it is a rental unit, policy requires me to deal with the actual property owner and not with the rental resident.
Couldn't you send dual notices?
And I am going to sit down with legal. Well, typically, no. We're not supposed to issue them to both sides because it's legal documents that are going to a property owner.
Oh, you CC them. Can you just CC the rest?
I'm going to be talking to Mo about this. I think, and if he agrees with me, I think the step would be to walk out there and talk to them about the fact that they currently are in legal status with the property owner.
Door knocked this?
No, because it's a rental. But my question would be, how do as we the know property
it's
a, owner. Because
it's the owner's in the back.
Yeah.
You're assuming it's a rental.
It's listed online as a rental too.
So you've gotten no response from the actual homeowner?
My only question that I could really legally ask them if I walk up is, has the property owner notified you about this violation?
You can CC them on a legal notice.
I think so too.
I don't think so.
Why?
I'm agreeing with you.
I think you just sent them a copy of the letter that went to the owner. And they get it and go, oh, shit.
I've always been told no by legal.
Well,
I can double check.
Are we using new legal, by the way?
We do have a new legal.
Okay.
So, Jim, if you send, the owner's got a different address of record, if you send the owner a a notice of violation to that address, and also with the owner's name, send it to the physical address.
Wouldn't open it.
Yeah, when I came into this position,
yeah,
I did do that.
Yeah.
The rental, I copied one to the rental and I copied one to the owner.
Right.
It was the renter that came after us and the renter that caused it to big stink until it came to committee. And committee says, oh, wait a minute, you're not the owner? End of discussion.
I see.
Well, but the...
And no response from the owner, homeowner?
But we've been going to the owner. It's basic communication that we're getting screwed up because we're worried about a legal concern about a copy of a letter saying you're in violation. That's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous situation. So you need to find a way out of it. I mean, that's just government being broken right now. So I'm not sure what to do, but you need to talk to legal and come up with something.
I'm going to first talk with Mo about it, because he does have some very good direction.
And okay, well...
if his direction is to discuss it with legal...
Otherwise, what's the next step? They don't recognize the legal notice, then what do we do? What's the next step after that?
The next notice is a abate or quit, and then after that, it's court.
Well, and if they're ignoring all of that, then...
Yeah.
So the owners are ignoring
it? In another case where we went all the way through legal and there was no representation
right.
from the homeowner...
Yeah.
We ended up leaving the home for $13,000 to recoup our legal.
Well, yeah. Well, I would include that. I mean, you're the next steps, owner. You're ignoring this. This is what's going to happen.
And those notices come from our legal counsel.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what else. If we can't contact the renter, then we can't contact the owner somehow. Have we tried calling the owner?
We don't have a phone number. Well, phone numbers, unfortunately,
are not in
GIS.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
I mean, when I do have phone numbers, I use them.
Alright. So, what do you want us to do here?
These are not action items. These are updates.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay, well, the third one was an action item, you said.
The third one was an action item.
Or it was an update on an action item that we never did.
Yeah.
Alright.
Correct. So, and per your comments, I definitely will be discussing this with Mo.
Yeah.
Our new policy is before I go to legal, I go to the
sure,
GIO
I know,
first,
of course.
Yeah. To determine whether
yeah.
or not we need to spend
but
that money.
Got to find a way around this conundrum, isn't it?
I get it.
Yeah, that's just broken stuff.
Okay. And then El Dorado Royale, item number 1B, CCR 221042. This is 3380 El Dorado Royale. El Dorado Royale, some of you were here when the giant
yellow
box. Trailer was out.
Yeah,
so
that was beautiful.
He decided to bring the trailer back. It's not necessarily that kind of a violation, but it basically his comments when we reopened the case for the same violation types were... And his viewpoint was it's sufficient enough. So what I've got is I've got a trailer now sitting right here.
Oh, yeah. I saw it.
The old trailer was right here, and it's been here now since I reopened the case for...
So it's sitting in the
driveway
instead of
in
the road frontage.
Right. They had a big old truck there.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Sorry, I cleared out of these.
But that commercial use of the property is closed, right?
Excuse me?
The commercial use of the property violation that's closed.
Yeah, and here's the thing that he's not communicating with me anymore because he was like, I'm not going to move my trailer because there's other violations in the neighborhood. A lot of people, unfortunately, describe Cameron Park as one neighborhood. In that neighborhood, it's one of the cleanest neighborhoods, and he's currently one of the only one that has a trailer.
There's
this
one
is
now.
The current situation right now.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
This is
it's a smaller one.
Yeah.
And
these trees are trying to
come. Unfortunately, he has no place. But here's the thing: that is a work trailer. Mm-hmm. So if you put it in storage, God knows we all need write-offs. That's a business write-off. And you'd actually
room in his garage.
He'd actually save money. I have that same kind of trailer. You can't get that. It just hits the trim.
He's trying to cover it with trees.
Oh, he said the trees have always been there.
The trees have always been here.
It doesn't screw it.
But I mean, when you've got a business, I'd store it because you can write that off. Mm-hmm. Right? And that, and when it comes to write-offs in the state of California, there's not many. This is one.
Yeah. Does he Does he have room on his side behind his side fence?
No.
No.
That's just a man gate over there, and the other side has nothing available.
Okay.
It's really a tricky place.
And I don't think the driver is wide enough on the left to get that trailer in.
No, it's not. There's, if you look at the overhead here, it's just that.
Oh, yeah, teeny tiny level.
It's just
tiny
a
level.
Gate on this side. Now we have a trailer here, and this slope from the road the fence is about 8 feet.
Yeah, that's a huge slope. No, I know that. I know that corner.
So it does come down. And when this house was developed, I talked to the developer and said, you need to put in some kind of trailer storage. And he says, well, I have no trailer. I'm not going to be doing that. Well, he was just developing and running. So, first person that moved in had trailer issues.
Yeah.
I request that with every new home construction. Put in storage. So, this lot didn't allow it, and this is part of El Dorado County easement, so he cannot even park a vehicle there.
Yeah.
So, it's unfortunate, but legal notice has gone out. After legal notice, I reviewed it with our GM, and GM said go ahead to abate or quit. So that's our next step. Abate or quit has been ordered, but she has not issued it yet.
But that's the next step?
That is the next step.
You don't need any action from us.
No on this one because the committee gave pre-legal and legal approval at the time.
Okay.
And then we go on to our item number 2, emotional support services.
Oh, my brother.
Okay, so I'm gonna read this, and you guys go ahead and give me questions that I probably can't answer. Staff completed a review of the CCRA casework with CCNR Council. It has been determined that any case of service or emotional support animals, complaints would need to be addressed on a case-by-case basis. These cases require specific handling, specific procedures, and determining the animal is supported by a medical recommendation. With any medical recommendation, there are still requirements that need to be completed by the owner of such animals, which include safety checks and care checks for the animals and owners, often administered by outside agencies. So, this was primarily a discussion with council because of chickens. And now we have a number of people that are saying that their chickens are emotional support animals. And they do. We can request that legal document, or that medical document, but it has to be handled with good cause. Our council went through about 20 different cases throughout the state of California, and every one of these on emotional support animals and chickens was a different result. And a lot of them have to do with the fact of how the agencies are handling that case. There are specific questions that have to be asked, specific handling of it to be done. And from what we have determined as staff is it would require a specialist to investigate this kind of thing. It is moving towards the point of online medical recommendations in the future will probably not be allowed because they are getting abused. You can get a service animal medical recommendation online without even seeing a physician, just like you can with medical marijuana.
But you can always ask them, what service are they performing?
Yes.
Just don't even ask unless they say something.
It's a very...
You can ask what service the animal is performing.
Really quick if you cannot ask.
They lay in
it. You cannot ask.
But, so this is in the case of people, chicken owners, who say they're emotional support animals.
Right.
What about all the rest?
As an excuse.
The rest of them, if they don't have medical support, we do go after them. And unfortunately...
Well, I mean, I hope we're going all after all of it.
Well, I can't go in the back and I can't inspect.
Oh, I understand that, but you can stand outside and hear them.
Not always.
Can, oh, trust me, I hear neighbors and, all the time.
And I've got them right across the street from the fire department, too.
And right. You can see the ones from the street in my neighborhood.
So, I mean...
Yeah. You're just roaming around?
No, they're in a little pen.
Or at least direction.
I've seen them roaming around on Country Club Drive.
And that is either
in someone's front yard.
Organize and get chickens approved for in your CCNRs, or these are the rules and you're not supposed to have them, and make sure that we, you know, show it on our website. And clearly, chickens, no, get out. Mm-hmm. It just seems like we're kind of dancing around this thing when we could be more proactive.
This one is a dance around, and even council.
I'm not saying, if they say it's an emotional support animal, I get it.
Yeah.
But I'm addressing the more general chickens. I don't want us not doing anything about chickens because we're worried about emotional support.
Mm-hmm. Right? We did have one viewpoint, for example, did amend their CCNRs to allow chickens.
Yeah.
And they did, I think they did a maximum of 5 or 7.
That's great. I'd love to see that all the time.
Because El Dorado County restricts roosters on at least, you have to have at least 3 acres. We can get El Dorado County to help us with the abatement of roosters, but they won't touch the animals. And then we did have another resident come to us that was going to try and get an amendment to the CCNRs to allow her chickens. But in that case, she also butts us up against the country club, and the country club would have to sign off on that, and the country club said no, so that shot it down. So,
the country club? Why would the country go down?
On Cambridge Road, those residents that butt up against the country club, it's in their CCNRs.
So it is in there.
Yeah, you have to, on certain projects, you have to get approval from the country club as well.
What kind of other animals are they going to try this with? Like, what is it going to be next? Goats?
Oh, gosh. I've had it with pigeons. We did have it once with goats. The thing is when it comes down to those larger animals, it's now El Dorado County ordinance, so we do get better support.
Oh, okay, good.
Hens, unfortunately, are not supported by El Dorado County ordinance. They're allowed to be on residential lots under an acre. It's just our CCNRs say no.
Well, we're responsible for enforcing the CCNRs, so we need to go after the chickens. And if they come back and say that they're emotional support chickens, then
they're lying.
Then we can do something
else.
Well, again,
I'd like an approach other than saying, "Ooh, this is sticky issue, and we just want to dance around it." No, let's have a policy or approach, whatever it is, to dealing with these issues. And if it's, we just leave them alone, or if it's, here's legal approved this request, they send it back to us, and if they send us something, that we put it in the file, and that's it. Mm-hmm. But we make them jump through the hoops to be able to do it.
And believe it or not, we have abated a lot of chickens in California.
Well, and that's great. I mean,
those are the ones that, like you stated, I can see them without having to do anything, or the complaints from the resident keep up, which is notifying us that it hasn't been abated yet, and we continue off of the complaints.
And that's great. And again, I would really, I think we should try to help if the local CCN, you know, individual
wants to amend,
we should have, here's suggested language. Mm-hmm. You know,
and that's exactly what we do. We do have that on our website, the steps to take to amendments, and we do request, if they're going to make an amendment, to bring that verbiage in before it's recorded, because if it cannot be enforced, then it's just a waste of time.
Yeah.
It has to be something that's black and white, clear and decisive, and it can be enforced. And so we have had a couple of amendments since I've been here, and we have practiced that. Bring it in. Let's help you with the language, and then go ahead and get your vote and get it recorded. And it is the resident's requirements to do all that work. The only thing we request is reviewing the verbiage.
Well, but couldn't we provide them, or here's really good language you liked from whatever, J bar number 7. Mm-hmm. Use this. We suggest you start here. Somehow, I think we should help this thing along a little bit.
And on that Cambridge along Country Club, the Country Club, we did sit down with the person who met me and the GM, and we did review all the steps as well as how to start your language.
Sure.
So, in agreement with you there, and we do practice that.
So, it says the cases require special handling and specific procedure. You're just informing the committee what you're doing about it. What is that special procedure that you've decided to implement?
It's almost like you would, when it comes to, and this is again, when it comes to service animals, okay, because it's...
The service animal's different, yeah. Emotional.
It comes down to literally having somebody that is trained and specialized in how to work that case. And
so who would that be? Within
it would probably be bring in an outside agency or, you know. I spent hours on this with legal counsel. It's very convoluted.
Yeah.
It's very, very tricky. And I even wrote down sentences that they were saying you have to do it with this wording or you can end up in court. Because you cannot go against a medical recommendation under certain circumstances. Especially like a CSD.
The legal counsel told you this?
Yeah.
That you couldn't go against medical recommendation.
You can't.
You cannot.
Yeah.
You cannot.
So to investigate or to make any recommendations or requests, it does require kind of, what I'm getting at is a specialist.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm not trained in that.
Right.
Well, I think we need to come up with something that's our pathway of doing things. Whatever it is. They say we just take their word for it, then fine. If that's the way it's going to be. But something, so it's a standardized approach every time.
Okay. Other than just a violation of it?
Well, or just dancing around it, right? Talking to legal, and we don't, you know, this is the way we deal with this. Whatever.
Keep in mind, though, there's a lot of stuff that also ends up becoming a domestic dispute, in which we cannot get involved in. And in some of the cases, like Hacienda versus Topaz, that's now more of a domestic dispute because they did issue us the emotional support items. And Mo has continued to work on that as well. And we're kind of looking at this is more of a domestic dispute. So I hear what you're saying. Animals are weird. It's really, you're talking about literally some people's children.
Well, let us know how we can help you to take any action down the road. But I think a well-defined policy procedure in place would help you and your organization in navigating this rather than just
some nebulous. Yeah, I think the board is going to have to determine a policy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
How we handle these.
That's a good solution.
But yeah. I would also be concerned about having a policy that then just clues people in to say, oh, just tell them it's an emotional support animal.
They're getting that message. Yeah.
It's kind of like the religious outing doesn't have to pay for the parking fee at the lake.
Well,
we had to write a policy
I would
for
suggest
that.
The whole emotional support issue would be a separate policy.
Oh, no, I understand.
Much more broadly based because there's emotional support issue with animals like on campus here, for example.
Correct. Yeah, oh no, we definitely need a broad policy that would go to the board.
All right. Anything else?
Nothing more from me.
Okay. Items for future CCNR committee agendas? Items to take to the board of directors. We already talked about one.
Chickens.
Okay.
No,
matters to and from committee members and staff. Mm-hmm. No.
Our next meeting, I assume, is in March.
Jim, how is this working out? Having it every other month.
With the exception of occasionally needing to get pre-legal.
it works out just fine. I mean, it does create a bigger workload when putting together the agendas, and it usually takes me a good 4 to 6 hours to put together an agenda for CCNR, but I think in the effort to try and reduce the amount of meetings that we have around here and the impact that it puts on staff as well, I think it's working out. You guys did make the recommendation if there was anything urgent, we can always call a special meeting in between those two-month periods. So we did discuss even having a special meeting after the no quorum, and it was decided by staff, no, we'll just run it to January 5th. So, otherwise, I think it works.
So March 2nd, then, it looks like, right?
I believe March 2nd will be the next one. I have a draft schedule that's in the office. I have not gotten the permanent schedule. This meeting, we did discuss pushing out to the 12th, and staff said, no, let's keep on schedule. Board clerk, we have a really good board clerk. I'm adjusting the schedule to something.
Yeah, we approved that schedule, so it's finalized.
Okay.
Okay. Well, if that's all that there is, unless committee members have anything else to add.
I'll move to adjourn.
Okay. Meeting is adjourned.
6:36.
6:36.